Welcome to Rage Game Network Podcast. Welcome to Rage Game Network Podcast. I'm Andy.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Ben.
And it's Pretty Boy Chris.
Pretty Boy!
Yeah! Everybody's here. Well, besides Connor.
Besides Connor, because he's working. Hi, buddy.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah, what is this, Connor? Come on.
Yeah. Why are you scheduling work?
Yeah. He ain't never work on a Saturday. We're supposed to do D&D.
Yeah, what the fuck is this? Yeah, now I got to record.
You are depriving me of my character development. Screw you, dude.
I was thoroughly prepared to give each and every one of you a little bit of emotional damage tonight.
Emotional damage!
But that'll just have to hold off. And we'll have fun instead.
So now I'm just going to be stressed about it for like another 2 weeks.
I know my story's going to get emotional too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to
I'm ready. Soon. We haven't really had a whole lot of insight on Rusty yet.
No, I mean, I told you a little bit of the deal, but yeah, I don't even know where this is going.
I'm so ready.
That's how scary this is.
I love that. Like y'all did the best for me as a DM. I know we're going to talk D&D later, but I've said this before, like Sarah gave me a nice, pretty fully fleshed out backstory that I was able to easily integrate. You gave me enough that there's enough mystery to play in with the lore that's easy to integrate, but you could kind of structure it through. So like Sarah's got first half, you got second, you've got kind of the second act. Connor's got the third act because he gave me no backstory. Every DM knows but that this is the best blessing and curse.
Yeah.
Because it's a curse because it's a lot of planning on you, but it's a blessing because you can do whatever the fuck they want because they didn't tell you you couldn't.
But now he's got this like spreadsheet of abilities every time he goes into a rage. Like it's been, and I think we've only re-encountered something once.
We've only repeated once. We've gotten 7 of the 8.
We're so close.
That I just started making other connections as I'm trying to weave stuff in. I had much of the story kind of fleshed out, but I am further learning and expanding as I go as a DM.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a roller coaster. Cause
it's
like,
going to be great.
I am getting more into it. That's good and bad for y'all.
But yeah.
Let's go. We planned something out for a structure.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's just do it.
All right, so we're going to start our news first.
Yes.
Which Sarah will take off most of that. Then we're going to get into part of our news that kind of segues pretty well. And then our second half, we're going to talk about, kind of our witches betters, actually.
Sort of?
It's kind not of? Witches betters. It is, yeah, it's witches betters. Yeah. And then kind of a would you rather, which is...
All Pokemon themed.
But not this first half, though.
No.
So, Ben, you first on news, you shared something to the Discord about the creator of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yes. Creator of Yu-Gi-Oh! Passed away, unfortunately. This has got a couple weeks now. I haven't checked for updates because I honestly didn't know if we'd get a chance to talk about it. So he passed away either snorkeling or scuba diving.
So he went out with his boots on.
He was discovered on the beach having washed up.
Oh,
he had gear with him. So we don't really know what happened. If there's more of the news that's come out, I'm sure I will find that out and we can put an update. I'll put it in the Discord. But it's pretty sudden. There was nice tributes from voice actors, from those in the community, from the official Konami TCG page. That's very, very sad news for the community. There's been quite more uplifting news for the community the past couple weeks. This last weekend, we had the North American Championships. This is kind of in lieu of Nationals for North America, as we're still in the kind of restructuring period from, this whole pandemic we've been living through.
Mm-hmm.
So that was this past weekend. A lot of really cool things coming out and the kind of the fallout from that, the changing of popular decks coming out. One of the decks actually I talked about a couple weeks ago in my little gush about water decks.
Yes.
Made Heck the top yeah. four. Marincest was one of the top four decks. It's actually one that I'm building right now. If I had had a little bit more foresight, I probably would have brought it for y'all to take a look at.
Oh, that would have been cool.
We also have a new set, Power of the Elements, dropping that first week in August. Sneak peek at some of your local friendly game stores on the 30th and 31st weekend. Check to see if they're doing tournaments or pre-sale. I know one of ours, Millennium in Henrietta, is doing pre-sale that weekend. I'm probably going to go pick up a box or two, and maybe we can open some of those. There's also a new app, Yu-Gi-Oh! Rush Duel, that's coming out. Konami secretly dropped the beta on that about a week ago. No announcement whatsoever. Just was like, oh yeah, this is in the iOS App Store now, and the signups for beta are in the Google Play Store now too. So no announcement. No, just a brand new app game available coming out. So that's my news.
For the creator, the only thing I'm seeing, it's been, what, at least 10 days, last reported news is saying possibly some type of a marine creature, like a shark might have attacked him. They found him with a snorkeling face mask.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had seen, that is possibly something like a jellyfish stingray, something like that, maybe got him. My other thought is swimming, especially you're in Japan, you're in the ocean, maybe it was a heart-related thing.
Right. Oh, yeah, maybe.
That's a possibility.
That's so,
so
sad.
Or, you know, just straight up, he got caught in the current and...
Yeah. Right, that too.
Tried to fight it.
So that's all my news. Okay. I don't want to go on about Yu-Gi-Oh! Forever.
I was letting you run because I was trying to put together the Instagram post, and I was just like, let him talk. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, Instagram post our after segment. So y'all will see that soon.
From the second half. So... just a couple of quick fun little things. So it looks like Fortnite, there's a bit of a leak. They may be revealing a new Dragon Ball skin.
Yes.
Perhaps. Hinting at who the fourth Dragon Ball Z skin in the anime's upcoming Battle Royale collaboration. So that looks pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think that's being launched as part of the promotion for the new Dragon Ball Super movie coming out.
Yeah.
Coming out a few weeks.
So that will be fun. If you guys play Fortnite on the regular, hit us up on the Discord. Let us, you know, let us know what you discover, or what you think, all of that jazz.
Or if you're Dragon Ball fans, hit us up in the Discord.
Or if you're Dragon Ball fans. One is fun. I don't know why this caught my eye. An Elden Ring player defeats boss as Geralt from the Witcher. So someone fully, like, went deep dive, fully embodied Geralt of Rivia and used all of his moves in Elden Ring
so cool.
to defeat the Bloodhound Knight Darrowill. Like, that nice. Is
wow.
Like, you have to be so dedicated. So cool. I love that.
Also, if anyone saw it, I think I posted it in the Discord a week or two ago, that they gifted an Elden Ring player an actual sword.
I saw that. Yeah. Oh, no. My God.
Check the news story. It's in the Discord. We won't talk about it on news because if you want it, you got to go there.
Got to go there.
Yeah, go to the Discord.
Check it out. So
it's
more
free
stuff.
People. Let's go. Come on.
More stuff. Some maybe things, features that you didn't know about on your brand new fancy consoles. So PlayStation 5, I did not know this. The controller has a built-in mic and a speaker on the controller. So if you're like trying to yell at people and be salty online, you can just yell at your controller. And there's like a dedicated mute button on the controller. So like if somebody else comes into the room, you just hit the button quick. It turns the mic off. Hit it quick. Turns it back on for you.
Yeah, and you don't get an obnoxious pop when you pull your fucking microphone out.
Yeah, Chris.
What? Oh, God.
This one I actually like. You can get help, not spoilers, with your new PS5. When you hit the PS button, you get a feature called Game Help. So there are certain titles that are compatible, and not everything has this, but you basically can watch in-game. You can watch videos, tutorials, get hints, little like clues to help you get through a task or whatever. It doesn't reveal any spoilers. So like days of YouTubing gameplay
is
gone because you're like, wow. You don't have to. Well, no, you don't like. In terms of defeating the game, though. Beating the game. Like, you don't have to YouTube somebody else's gameplay and then ruin the whole storyline before you even play through it.
We could also say that the days of the playthrough guides.
Oh, those are long gone.
Yes. I miss those.
Because there was collectible ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the paper ones, like the Prima ones for the Pokemon games. But even just online, like, pour one out for any of your buddies who wrote something for GameFAQs. Y'all remember that? GameFAQs?
Yeah.
And they'd always do, like, the ASCII art at the top. Oh.
They,
the nostalgia, bro.
Also, there was the Zelda hardcover fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? I bought
the promo hardcover guide for Sun and Moon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that was like the last one I've seen.
They actually had hardcover for Final Fantasy VII also. All the Final Fantasies, I think they had a soft and hardcover. But some of those were like... Those were works of art in themselves, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the last one I saw was the OG Kingdom Hearts. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really only super big titles that'll get printed guides anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And yeah. Even that, it's more just for
It's
the
still
promo,
very limited, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is very cool. You can download games to your PS5 from your smartphone.
You could do that with the 4.
You could do that with a 4?
You could still kind of do it with 4 if you have the app.
You have to have the app, yeah. And your console has to always be connected.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I didn't know you could do that. I learned a thing today.
If this is on sleep mode, I could be at work and I'm like, oh, I like this game. Let's download this.
Bop it on over.
And
I like that.
It'll download
while
I'm...
That's great, because some of those games, I don't know. It's been a while. I have not owned a Sony console in many years.
Mm-hmm.
But back in college, I was hanging with my buddy. He had a PS3 at the time. And it takes so freaking long to download games.
Oh, my God. We were just talking about this at work.
And stuff like that. And, you know, we get together on a Friday night. We have some drinks. We play some Final Fantasy.
Sure.
Play whatever. And nothing kills the vibe more than like installing like an hour's worth of updates. I'm like, I want to play now.
Yeah.
Like
we were just talking about this at work. Like how big games used to be. Like it was megabytes or like a gigabyte or two, and it would take days.
Yeah.
And now it's like, all right, you have a 25 gig game, but it takes like a couple hours.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And even that, like, you want to play, you don't want to waste that. Especially if you buy a new game. That's the one thing I hate. With physical games, is that you still have to download all that data.
Oh, yeah.
But
the days
you know
of
what?
Popping your disc in and playing your fucking game when you get it.
But you know what? Like, that's great, like you said. You on your lunch break, you're like, oh, I really want this. I want to play it when I get home.
Start downloading it at work.
Buy it in the app store on my phone, start the download, and you can come home.
And play.
Either it's ready, or by the time you finish getting your food and drink together from a long day, it's ready to play. That's great.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if it isn't, I love the feature on the PlayStations now that if it's not completely downloaded, some have mini games that you can do while it's still downloading.
Yep.
Or it has a, you know, play while downloading.
Yeah, like a partial play. You can go up to a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Kind of like old school demos.
Yep.
Yeah.
So moving on to Xbox Series S/X. These ones are not very original, so these are going to be boring. I apologize for that. You can transfer games from your Xbox One because it is backwards compatible.
Nice.
Cool. Thank you. Good. Wonderful. You can play Blu-ray discs in it.
About time.
Finally.
I'll say this. It's because Sony had it. That's why.
So they're just trying to catch up on that front.
I mean, that's important. I think that's part of what killed the Dreamcast is that it couldn't play DVDs at the time.
Oh,
no.
Fair.
When the PlayStation 2 could.
Yeah.
Yep. And I have to say, there's one reason why I think there was Laserdisc. You remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was Laserdisc and DVD that were coming out, and DVD... one out because of two reasons. The PlayStation 2 and porn.
Well, obviously.
And then along came HD DVD and Blu-ray.
And more porn. Welcome to RPN, folks.
RPN.
No, and the deciding factor was the same thing, was PlayStation and porn.
Yeah.
I know people who actually bought two copies of things because they had a HD DVD,
and then they had
switch to Blu-ray.
Yeah.
This one again, you can use your controller elsewhere because it is Bluetooth. Duh. Okay. Duh. Yeah. Moving on.
PlayStation's had that since forever. PS3 now.
I will say some of the Xbox ones aren't as universal as they claim to be.
Yeah.
Because I've bought Xbox ones that have the USB and like USB 2 or 3 ports to use on my PC.
Yeah.
No. And they don't pick up the way they're supposed to.
Okay.
No. It's like,
and it's like glitch.
No, it doesn't even recognize it. It's like made by Microsoft. How is this stuff does it not talk to each other?
Now, here's the greatest thing. I could take one of my PlayStation controllers. I could even, this is how crazy it is. If I connect it through Steam, I can even change the color of the light on the front of it.
Yeah. No, I'm talking like I bought an Xbox controller from GameStop. Uh-huh. It has the USB. Yeah. I plugged it into my laptop. Not wireless, not Bluetooth. And it does not recognize.
Oh no! I could do. Like,
what do you?
That's infuriating.
I could do that with the PlayStation 4 controller, and it works fine. It works perfect. I can do it Bluetooth.
This feels very reminiscent of the whole Apple versus Android argument. Like Apple only plays Apple.
This argument, is way the opposite because
way older. No, I get it.
Because
but like,
Microsoft won't even play nice with each other.
I know.
No.
Microsoft sons can't of play bitches. Nice with
what the heck?
Yeah, it wasn't until recently you couldn't get like Xbox games on your PC.
Right.
What the
that
fuck
that was what
is that?
In the last 2 years or something
stupid.
Yeah,
it's like it's like you're the same company, but you treat each other differently. Like, they're from that side.
It's like, that's a
family.
Different department,
yeah.
Fam.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. You're in the video game... you're in the video game console division? Oh, fuck yourself. Yeah, you know, we're better than
that's
you.
That's like in your family. Like, you have one side of the family and the other side, and they don't talk to each other.
Finally, they made up.
Same thing.
Yeah.
But it's still not great.
No.
It's still a little
tense.
Rocky.
Yeah. Last one for the Xbox. You can control your Xbox with Google Assistant or Alexa.
Okay.
So that's
kind of
cool.
I'll take that.
That one's pretty exciting.
But I can tell you, Sony, if you got the Sony Bravia.
Yeah.
Who does, though?
My brother.
Okay.
It's fucking sweet because all he has to do is hit that PlayStation button and everything comes on.
Yeah.
And that's pretty dope.
We spent way too much time on that TV. Okay, anyways.
65 inches, baby.
For the Nintendo Switch, you can use wireless headphones. Yay. Okay. You can find your lost Joy-Con controllers. So it basically has an AirTag feature where it makes the Joy-Con controller vibrate and hopefully easier to locate in that way.
That's kind of helpful.
As long as it's paired. Like, as long as it's been previously paired.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. Cool.
I can tell you, by losing my phone, vibrating doesn't always help.
No, but at least it's something.
Yeah.
At least
I
it's
will
something.
Say, that's cool. I don't know how useful it is. I don't know too many people who have the Joy-Cons disconnected. Like, most people, if you're doing something, you're either in handheld, but if it's docked, most people I know have opted for, like, the Pro controllers or something like that.
Okay.
I have not because I rarely use it docked, so I just use the little slip-in thing that came with it.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
To each their own, right?
It's good to have.
Right.
Last one for Switch. Well, sort of. You can have the parental controls because I know a lot of people buy Switch for their kids so that you can... It's...
Leland definitely has that.
Yes. Thank you, God. last but certainly not least, there's tons of free games on Switch now.
Oh, yes, there are.
Yes. Tons and tons and tons. And then there's a little blurb here about the Steam Deck.
Speaking of which.
About how you can, where did it go? It went away.
I really hope the Steam Deck has parental controls because of all systems, that's going to need it.
Yeah, honestly.
There's some weird shit on
Steam. It was talking about how you can upgrade the graphics basically and make it ultra. Like 4K graphics.
On the Steam Deck.
But it takes a huge amount of modification. And they're like, don't try this at home because you'll fuck your Steam Deck up. Like, it's.
I'm good.
Definitely the techies who have too much time and money to waste.
Linus Tech Tips can do that for
us.
To go a little bit more on the Switch. A couple of the free games that they have running right now are Fall Guys, which is great. It's a fun game. Tetris 99, Hardcore okay. Tetris fan over here. Fallout Shelter. Have you guys ever played that one?
Previously, yeah.
Not
yeah.
great.
Okay. It's okay. Well, it's free now, so that's fine.
I see you run the Steam ad, Steam Deck ad in the background, and that looks so slick.
Like, dude, have you I'm not excited
like,
for it.
Actually seen anything about this?
No. I didn't intend to buy one, so I didn't really look at it.
I have.
I knew one. You guys were going to talk about it, so I figured that was good enough.
There you go. Well, we'll have
I
one.
I have
we'll
one
have one by September, bare
I
minimum.
Have
so
this one, hopefully coming, not all of that. This
but
one.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nah,
it says.
Oh, it says.
It still says the same thing. Your expected order availability is in third quarter. September, July through September. September, which it's July, and I still can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That you ordered almost
exactly
a year ago.
A year ago, yeah.
A year and a couple
a
of days,
a days
now.
More free games on the Switch. You've got Warframe.
Okay.
Sky, Children of the Light, which was made by the indie makers who made Journey. If anybody played Journey.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Knockout City.
No.
And Super Kirby Clash.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Which is a spiffed up version of the 3DS version. Team Kirby Clash Deluxe. So, okay. Basically the same thing. You can partner up with up to three other Kirby clones, and each person gets to take on their own fantasy-inspired class. So, that one's fun. Yeah, there you go. And then zooming from that right into, we have a brand new trailer that we watched today.
Yeah.
For yeah, the new D&D movie with Chris Pine.
Well,
Sarah's excited about Chris Pine.
You were
going to
talk about some other stuff.
D&D stuff, yeah. D&D other D&D stuff. News.
Other D&D. Yeah,
we'll
go for
get
it.
Into that. So yes. D&D news, we just had this past week the most recent book drop. Journeys to the Radiant Citadel. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those anthology books similar to Ghost of Salt March, Tales of the Yawning Portal. This, I believe, has 13 kind of standalone one-shot or, you know, 2-3 session adventures taking players out of the material plane and into the ethereal realm.
Oh,
so I'm pretty excited for that. It looks pretty cool. Whether you want to add that into your current campaign as little side quests or do a whole slew of adventures traveling between the material and the ethereal planes, you can pick that up. It's available anywhere that sells D&D books. But as always, check out your friendly local game store for the exclusive art cover edition of that.
Yes.
That's actually the only reason I didn't have one to review and talk about today is because I haven't stopped there yet to pick that up.
I love the alternate covers. They're beautiful.
Yes. Honestly, they've been so much better recently.
Like the Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
Yeah, Wild
that
Beyond
one's
the Witchlight.
Fucking awesome.
I was not super...
That is really
like,
cool.
Like, some of the adventure ones are hit and miss, but Wild Beyond the Witchlight I do really like. It's kind of in the new design that they've done when they did the re-release of the core three books. They yeah. did art style similar to that. This one is really kind of nice and vibrant with the purples and pinks we've got for the ethereal plane. Also, it kind of matches nicely with the also recently released Tel'Dorei Reborn campaign guide that Critical Role put out.
Oh, nice.
The Tel'Dorei Reborn is not official D&D release like the Wildemount one was. No. This is through Critical Role's own, I believe it's Darien Press or something. So that is out also on shelves. But just know, since it's not like Explorer's Guide to Wildemount and their Journey to the Netherdeep book, it won't be available through like D&D Beyond. So just keep that in mind if you are running a Critical Role style campaign, that new Tel'Dorei Reborn guide mm-hmm. won't be on D&D Beyond. But, you know, you're welcome to implement that. So pick that up. I saw the cover art for that and looked at that. That looks really cool. We also have coming up at the end of the month, start 31st, official release date for Dragons of Stormwreck Cove, I believe is what it's called. Yes. That is the new starter essentials kit thing for D&D. I'm not sure whether they're calling it starter essentials. They're giving it some sort of new name. We'll see. The 31st of July, it launches as a Target exclusive. So yes. if you're looking to pick up, unfortunately, you can't get this at your local game store until, I believe, October. So Target has it on lock as an exclusive for the next couple months. So if you're interested in that, you'll be able to pick it up there. You know, as much as I'd love to support our small stores, I pre-ordered it at Target just because I want it early.
Right.
You know, they don't sponsor us, but I use my Target card. I save money on it, and I got free shipping. So yeah, it is going to be cheaper than when it comes out. But, you know, if you're currently in a campaign and can hold off and, you know, have a little bit more self-control than I do, support your local game store.
Yes, please. But a little bit of news on that one. We were discussing on doing a live play, or an actual play of that campaign. And I don't know. Like you said, it might be 1 through 5 or 1 through 7. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the level layout is. The original starter set was 1 through 5. The essentials kit was 1 through 5 with some like optional quests. Like if you did everything cover to cover, it would bring you closer to 7.
Okay.
But obviously it's meant to be optional, so you can pull stuff as you want. So it should ideally be 1 to 5 if you pull out stuff, because not everyone will enjoy each little quest line that's in there.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, we're definitely interested to do a live play for that. Hopefully get Pretty Boy Chris in on this, since he's not been able to be part of our regular campaign we've got going on.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, do something fun with you guys. Oof.
Oof. Oh, yeah. This isn't fun, Chris?
Oh, not at all.
You can get the fuck out there.
Yeah, so I'm super excited to get that in a live play, because I know we've talked about other stuff. I know y'all have other friends interested.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to get another story in. Like, y'all don't even know. Like, I have at least one. I have another whole campaign, like, framework done for a whole nother story. Because I wasn't sure whether we would run what we're running now, or I was looking at other groups before I started playing with you. So I have a framework for a whole nother campaign ready.
Ooh.
Heck yeah.
But I know Sarah also wants to DM.
I do. I want to try my hand at Wilds Beyond the Witchlight.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have so many opportunities. So many
avenues to go with.
Yeah.
I might even suggest for her to do the starter instead, so she can get her toes wet before getting crazy with Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
Because
I know the Feywild can get really fucked up real quick.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
It can be.
Just like there's lots to keep track of.
Lots to keep track of. Like
particularly if you're going back and forth. I've not delved too deeply into Wild Beyond the Witchlight because I didn't want to spoil it if I end up playing in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's a one way, you start outside and you go inside. The Feywild gets wonky mechanically if you're constantly going back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
With shit. This seems to be like a mostly one way, similar to how Baldur's Gate Descent into Avernus.
Okay.
I won't spoil that. That is very much a one way. You start in Baldur's Gate and you go to hell. There's no back and forth. You get there, you're down there, and then you got to find your way back once you accomplish what you're down there. But there's not a lot of. This seems like a very similar thing. I think that's what they're kind of doing. They're exploring the planes in this nice, safe way to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You start in the material plane, then you go there, and then there's a way back. And I think that's kind of how they're doing that with any time they're introducing new things, whether that's Avernus, Feywild. We're going to get it with the ethereal plane with this new book. I think the only time you're really going outside of that is the new Spelljammer book that comes out this fall.
Yep. Hmm. That one looks cool.
I know what I'm getting into for his birthday.
I've not gotten
like into hippo people and shit like that in there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of
weird.
It's like
shit,
interplanar travel. Like, it's, you got Star Trek in my D&D. No, you got D&D in my Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, very much
Spelljammer gets crazy. It's, as someone who delved into something else outside of Forgotten Realms, I was running a short campaign of Eberron.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you Spelljammer will get weirder than that. So like,
well,
if you're interested in running something that's going to get real heady and real creative, which I feel like is something up your alley, I would suggest you getting him that book. I think you'd have a lot of fun with that.
I got to run a actual module. I am like one of those guys that does create, you know, whole worlds and pantheons and stuff like that, because I don't read well. That's part of the problem.
It's easier to pull it out of your head than it is to put it into your head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the trailer really quick?
Yes.
Yes. Let's talk about the trailer really quick. We have only a few minutes on this half.
Yes.
But yes, we saw a D&D trailer today. I mean, Chris and I saw it earlier, but
Ben and I saw it for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got Christopher Pine while narrating the beginning of this. So very Star Trek, the new movies.
Yeah.
Type of thing going on at the beginning of this.
Yep.
But straightforward. Ben mentioned it. The attention to details.
Yes. Yeah. They're in some parts. So the one attention to detail that caught my eye, and I kind of knew to look for it because I saw a TikToker bring it up as well, is you see a black dragon go through, and they don't do the Hollywood dragons do fire. They paid attention. This dragon throws a line of acid breath that kind of tears up the field. Something does ignite, looks like maybe like a trebuchet or something that would have been flaming anyways. So like that's a nice attention to detail. There was a scene later on where it looks like a druid wild shapes into an owlbear, which is not a thing because wild shape are beasts and owlbears are monstrosities. It could be something like polymorph, which gets around that, so I won't snub them on that, but like you can tell that they did pay some attention to detail. There's some iconic looks like lich with that red and gold outfit, so I'm assuming there's a lich as part of that because that was an iconic artwork from D&D as well as Magic the Gathering lore. So like they very, very nice attention to detail. I think it's gonna be good.
And every time I've I've watched the trailer let's say two and a half times, three times maybe.
Two and a half times.
Well, I rewound something and I found something new this time and I'm like, wait a minute. I see that they're doing something here and it's like, oh shit. But definitely like the mimic jumping out at him. That's really good.
I'm excited for, obviously, the relationships between the characters because Chris Pine is going to play a bard.
Mm-hmm.
And the druid is sitting there in the trailer making fun of him. She's like, so what do you do, actually? Like, what do you bring to the group? He's like, oh, I make the plans. And she's like, but the plan's already made, so.
Right.
And then the girl standing next to him, she's like, he also plays the lute. He's like, shut up.
Yep. And that's a classic bard interaction. Like, so good.
I'm so excited.
I kind of laughed a little when he, I think it was as they were outside that one town or village.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, we got to make a plan. Let's just go to the bar and drink and come up with a plan.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I was like,
over a drink? He's like, yeah, that's probably best.
Yeah, that's probably best. A classic, like, what you would interact.
Yeah, that's definitely D&D trope.
Yeah.
Let's not stand in the middle of this field and talk about it for three hours. Let's go sit at the tavern and, hide in a corner.
You know,
and
we steal, we do crazy stuff, and we did something for the wrong person, and we got to figure it out.
We got to fix it.
That is classic D&D. They're playing into a lot of the tropes, which, some people can say that's played out and overdone, but it's like, it works.
It does.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It looks like it's going to make for a good movie.
Okay.
For a film, that's perfect. The same, I've heard similar complaints about Critical Role, that first campaign. Oh, they just kind of played into the tropes. Oh, you got the dumb barbarian. You got the holy cleric who's kind of lost. But it works.
Oh, it worked.
It works. If it ain't broke, don't
fix it.
People are not into it, getting into it.
This is perfect. Right.
What's another word for a trope? I forget. Help me out.
Stereotype.
Basically. I hate to say it, but I mean, D&D, there's reasons why we go through the tavern. We have, you know, oh, you meet in a tavern, and even in not another D&D podcast, the beginnings in a tavern.
In a tavern, right. In a tavern. And here's seven strangers who have never met before, but they're all simultaneously going to band together for, we don't know why, but, you know, there's a reason, I guess.
Yeah, like, some reason comes stumbling through the door.
And it's always the blue boar head.
A blue boar head, or, insert color, insert animal.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what? That's not just D&D. Put that in any heist movie. Because this is essentially, this is a fantasy heist movie is what we're getting. Give me, like, Fast and Furious. Yes, Ocean's 11.
Yep.
Like, you are getting a bunch of people who were unlikely to work together.
Somebody
and have a common goal.
They're kind of thrown together.
Yep.
Okay, if you're gonna be like, well, that doesn't happen in real life. Well, how about you? I don't know. Remember the Titans? Mm-hmm. What was that hockey one about them winning the?
Oh, they beat Miracle? Russia. Yeah, Miracle.
Miracle.
The
'80s Olympics. Yeah. You think that's all a crock of shit? No.
Watch that.
No, watch those.
Yeah,
that's some real life shit.
Yeah, you want something that's not sports and not action? Give me something like Save the Last Dance.
Oh, stop! No.
The, wow. No, you sit here in your ivory tower, like, you know, looking down on us in the hood, and what? Yo, that is it. Yeah,
that is it.
That's that.
And they, you know, they team up, they fall in love, and they take on the world. Like, that is the trope. It's not just D&D. It's action movies. It's rom com.
Oh, obviously.
Pull any rom-com.
Pull any rom-com, oh my and God. It is the same storyline.
The dorky
over
best
over
friend,
over
the
over.
Guy the, who's yep. the unlikely the leading man.
Have you ever seen
Jack
2 Weeks
Black
Notice?
In there once or twice?
Yeah.
Have you ever and, seen 2 Weeks it. Notice?
Yes.
It's the culmination of rom-coms. It's Sandra Bullock and, what's his face? Help, the English guy.
Oh, yes.
You know who I'm talking about. Jude Hugh Law? Grant. Hugh Grant.
Oh.
No, that's not right.
I don't know.
He's the
everyone
English
knows who you're talking.
But anyways, he's in like every rom-com ever, and Sandra Bullock is in every rom-com ever, and now they're together. Yeah. It literally is just the same thing, but everyone went wild because the two of them were in it together.
Like, think about it. You've got the unlikely, kind of charming leading man, but is a little off. Like, that's very clearly, like, he's the unlikely
Gerard Butler.
No, it's not
paladin-ish character. You've got like the
no kidding.
Your bard.
Yeah,
is
it is
the,
Hugh Grant.
The derpy sidekick who's trying to help his boy out.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got the woman who's kind of reserved, but like sees something in him. And then there's this little back and forth, but she
Star
wants
Wars.
To stick to her morals. Like that's the cleric, the druid, the wisdom character. And then you've got like something of her friends. Like you've got a cast of four for something like that.
Yep.
Or, you know, freaking Ninja Turtles. The four humors personified. That's a D&D part.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like,
I'm like, not to get too deep and too intense on this.
Like, I don't know how we derailed from D&D to rom-com.
No, that's the whole point. We are just straight up talking about D&D though. That's the thing.
That's
every
the
trope,
thing.
Everything's been done. This, it's like that whole episode of South Park where it's like, oh, the Simpsons have done it.
Yeah, because the Simpsons
D&D did it first.
D&D did it first. There. Somebody else has thought of your shit before you did.
Yeah.
All right. Now on that, we'll see you after the break. Well, we won't see you. We'll talk we'll talk at you.
You might see me.
Basically. All right.
You can't see me.
And we're back. I gotta apologize. Sorry, we're already halfway through the episode, but right now it's like 90 degrees and we're in the non-air conditioning house, so if you hear a low hum going on in the background, there is an exhaust fan going, trying to suck some of the hot air out.
We're sweaty.
So, just keep
it's
that in mind.
Hot
I apologize.
In here.
Oh my God! Wow.
Chill
early
with that
2000s. Anybody?
Actually, not related to this at all. Nelly's coming to the state fair.
Stop! Are you serious?
Yeah. Yep.
Can we go though?
So, like, so basically, you're
if
telling us
I
we're
could
going.
See Country Grammar live, That would make my year.
Also, TLC's going to be there. I think they've got someone semi-new in there because obviously, you know,
right.
You know, rest in peace, yeah. Left Eye.
But, right.
You know, just throwing that out there.
Man.
All right, but, okay. But we're going to talk Pokemon,
I'm
right?
feeling old now.
Yeah, we're old.
Feeling old.
Old. We're old.
Dated.
So, for all those out there, yes, we did a Pokemon Go trading card game poll. And yep. Who wants to talk about their polls first?
Why don't we talk about what we got in the box?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yes. So, by the way, all this will be on our Instagram page. Sarah should be putting that up.
I already did.
And it is.
I already put it in our Discord.
Sweet.
Yep. So pictures are there. So I picked this up at Target. This is kind of the collector's pack for the Pokemon Go set for the Pokemon trading card game, one of them. So you can buy your booster packs. They also have a new version of the trainer box that they put out a couple of every year. So if you're looking to get into the TCG, it comes with the trainer box, comes with 10 packs, pre-done packs of energy cards, and everything you would need to get started playing the Pokemon TCG. But what I got today was kind of the collector's box. Featuring the Radiant Eevee. So if you are an Eevee fan, especially that silver shiny Eevee, pick this up. It retails $49.99 at Target.
It's a vanilla Eevee. And pretty much
wherever Pokemon cards are sold. There are 8 packs of the new Pokemon Go set in there. We've got the super cool playmat for whether you're playing Pokemon or any of your favorite TCGs, or even if you just want like an oversized mat for your mouse, go for it.
Mouse and keyboard.
Beautiful art. Dude. I love it.
It's pretty.
It also comes with a collectible pin and a promo card of the Eevee. So I think it's a pretty good, deal for the packs, the pin, the mat. That's a pretty fair price to me. And then of course, for those of you who play the Pokemon TCG, game, as you should already know, every pack comes with a QR and kind of ABC code that you can put in the game on your computer, and you get free packs. They will not be the same packs you pull, but it's more ways to play, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
I'm a little disappointed. It has Pokemon Go on there, but there's no redemption code for the Pokemon Go app to redeem items.
Yeah.
That's a little
I feel
sad.
Like that would have been a nice tie-in. But I think as you guys saw with your pulls, if you guys want to talk about, we got some art that was featured in some of, it looks like it's from the ads from Pokemon Go.
Yeah, on the original release. Yeah. And, well, so Sarah, why don't we go around the table from you to Ben?
Okay,
For the polls.
So, I got, oh my god, I don't even know which one I want to talk about first. Okay, so I got Dragonite V-Star.
I love the art on that.
It's so cool.
It's nice.
He looks so intense. He's like, I got a Mewtwo V, which looks really fucking badass.
Just to clarify, it's not the special art Mewtwo V.
No.
We'll make sure there's pictures of all of these close up on there.
Yes.
But if you are a collector, there's a chase card for everyone. It's the Mewtwo from the original, like the OG trailer for Pokemon Go of him in like Times Square. That's the chase card. That's up for like $50 on TCG Player.
None of us got that one.
No, we didn't. But the full art you pulled, that last, pretty sweet.
Yeah, it that looks is beautiful. Dope. I also got a Bibarel with a photo bomb of Smeargle. Smeargle, however you say that.
That's your reverse holo.
That's my reverse holo. And then I also got a Radiant Charizard.
Is that full holo?
Full holo.
Full holo.
I mean, that's the shit right there.
Dang. I think you're gonna smoke me on that one.
It's fucking beautiful, dude.
Shiny Charizard is one of the best shinies.
Oh,
I mean, really,
hands down.
We'll talk about best Pokemon later.
Yes.
Oh.
It'll be part of our discussion. So you're done with yours.
Those are mine.
Yeah. So let's see. From the ones I like, out of actually, we'll go from weakest to my legendaries. I got a reverse hollow Numel.
Love it.
It's so cute. He's sleeping. And actually, the other card I have has a Numel in it and a Spinarak and a Bidoof, which is my reverse holo Ivysaur. And then I have a holographic Moltres.
Okay.
And then I have a holographic Zapdos. So I got two out of the three legendary birds.
Whoop, whoop.
Woo! Woo!
Also, we talk about legendaries coming up.
And we also do talk about legendaries coming up.
Yeah.
And I haven't picked one of mine.
So I've got four. So mine are, looks like a reverse holo Zapdos. A reverse howl. I can't speak.
Holo.
Slowbro. And I got holos for Charizard.
Which is the trailer Charizard, because it's that cityscape also.
Yeah, I love the art on that one, too. That's beautiful.
That's great. That's awesome.
I love it. And then I got a Snorlax.
Yeah. All right. And I think mine is kind of... I think my pulls were pretty apropos to the conversation we're having. we're going to talk about starters later.
Yep.
So I pulled a reverse holo Charmander.
Okay.
I pulled a Pokemon Go hat Pikachu, a reverse holo Wartortle, and a holo Sylveon. That's so we're dope. Representing a lot of those Gen 1 and starters.
Yeah.
So let's go into who had the most expensive pulls for our which is better, I guess, for today with this kind of luck of the draw.
I love it.
So, we'll go around reverse this way. So I'll go through my pulls and what they are, and then we'll go to Sarah all the way around. Well, me, Chris, Andy, and then Sarah. So my pulls, Pikachu was at 35 cents, Charmander at 75 cents, Sylveon at 35 cents, Wartortle at 50 cents. So not doing too great there. So I'm at like
a couple of bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Chris, your top card there was your Charizard. That's going at about $1.50 right now.
Oh, nice.
Zapdos at 35 cents. Slowbro and Snorlax at both a quarter each. So,
couple of
as y'all can kind of see, Pokemon cards are a little bit less than some of what we've had for Yu-Gi-Oh prices.
Right.
The card markets are very up and down the past few months. It looks like Yu-Gi-Oh's outpacing them for like their singles prices, but that's great news for you. For those of you who are getting into Pokemon card game, it won't cost you so much.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm betting pack prices are a little bit higher though on Pokemon.
Pack prices are a little bit higher. Yu-Gi-Oh did just raise their prices a couple months ago.
Gotcha.
But Pokemon still do end up being like 15-20 cents more on average per pack.
Oh, okay.
Which still isn't that bad.
No.
All right, Andy. Unfortunately, you are the low man.
Oh, no.
It's that Numel, isn't it?
Each one of your cards being at a quarter.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
even the Numel's
your
that Numel high?
Is as impressive as your legendary birds.
Yeah.
Oh.
You got one buckaroo right there.
Yeah.
I got $1.
One block.
One block.
Throwing that back.
I'm surprised the Numel's that expensive.
Yeah. So honestly? The thing is with the reverse holos is that they're basically a little bit more. They're like twice as much as their common counterpart.
Oh, is that why Chris got a little bit more on his reverse holo Zapdos?
Yes, because the reverse holo is less likely to be found than the regular holo.
I thought I had him beat with the regular holo.
Yeah.
Sarah wins then.
Yeah, Sarah is our winner.
Nice.
For sure. Because all pulls aside, that Radiant Charizard is what crushed all of us because that really? Is essentially the second chase card of this set.
No,
coming in at $34.
Oh, damn. Holy shit!
I will take that to the bank.
Yeah, that basically pays for this whole box.
Get the fuck out!
Pretty much.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Well, I guess I'll let you have it back then since you paid for the box.
So
no,
yeah. Only thing I've seen more expensive is that Mewtwo alternate art, which is going for $50 right now.
Yeah.
So like, I swear, every time I pull from my local Target, and again, they're not sponsoring me. I will talk about them a lot, but like, they're not sponsoring us. If they want to, please do.
Yo, please, hit us up.
We are some basic bitches out here and love us some Target.
We're all Websterites. We love our Target.
Hey.
But yeah, like literally almost every time I buy packs from them, I pull something good. And even like the last time we got Yu-Gi-Oh! Packs, each of you pulled a secret rare.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's actually good.
Yeah. I get better pulls there than like my local game store.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I go to my local game store because they're a bit cheaper.
It's because they sneak the good packs.
Yeah.
They sneak the good packs.
There's something different. I swear, there's always been something different about the packs that have the little cardboard backing of the plastic versus buying them from the booster box from the game store. I don't know what it is, but there's something different. Maybe I'm just being superstitious, but even back in the day, there was something different. But let's not go on a rant because there's more Pokemon stuff we want to talk about.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Andy had a great idea earlier.
Oh, so, what was the rest of hers? Sorry.
Oh,
the Mewtwo was $120. Nice. The the Dragonite was $2.
Yeah.
Smeargle I didn't find.
Dude.
Well, it's the Bibarel.
It's the Bibarel.
Yeah.
The
barrel. Yeah.
What was that?
With the photo bomb.
I didn't write it down.
That's not
right. I mean,
it can't be worth a whole hell of a lot.
Let's be honest. Just the Mewtwo and the Dragonite already smoked us, and then Radiant Charizard,
just
all like, of us,
just
everything combined.
In case
combined.
You had hope, gone.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Sarah lined us up and ran us over.
Just like in Sword and Shield, when you thought you were all good, Leon throws out that Charizard, and you're like, "Shit!"
Like, fuck.
So yeah,
bucket.
Cool.
That's our Pokemon polls.
I love it.
So Sarah just kicked our ass yet again. All right.
Yeah, every time we do these pack pulls, you got that.
Yeah, you got that the magic fingers.
I don't even choose my own packs. Ben throws a couple packs at me, and I that's what I.
Yo, you got to throw me the good.
Andy, you didn't get thrown the good cards, but you did get thrown the bag of shame.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you definitely don't deserve the bag of shame. I'll tell you that.
But if you got the luck, and I just have to pick the packs, like. If you want to meet me when I go play Yu-Gi-Oh! On a Thursday night and just open my packs for me, that'd be great.
I'm down.
I think the last we picked Yu-Gi-Oh! I did win by like a couple of cents.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Though. Yep. It was only like a buck.
Because that other secret. You pulled the Dynamorphia.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So. We have to have our little discussion here.
About
what is your favorite starter and legendary, and what is your most hated general Pokemon and hated legendary? Who wants to start first?
I have so many opinions.
If you want to go first,
what do you want to start? Do you want to start with starters or legendaries? Or
let's go with our favorites and. Yes, let's go with the starters.
Favorite starters. Okay, so I don't know if y'all have met me, but I am wildly obsessed with foxes.
Hold on. We are counting the Let's Go series, so...
I have two.
Okay. So.
I am wildly obsessed with foxes. And I also tend towards the fire type starters. Mm-hmm. So if I had to pick from just like your regular...
You picked Mystic.
Shush. It was blue. I like blue.
Valor. Fire. Come on. And? Passionate. Courage.
Okay, listen. Calm down. Anyways, I picked Fennekin as my favorite starter because he's a fire fox. Obviously. Like, he's adorable.
I wish we had cameras because.
But
is,
if I was allowed to make
the amount of shade being thrown at you right now is.
I gave her the loser symbol
if
on my
looks
head.
Could kill. Andy would be vaporized right now. I'm not having it.
Why we don't have video podcasts? This is beyond
me.
Anyways, some point we'll get there.
So, yeah. Anyways. Within the confines of starters, obviously I'm going to pick Fennekin, but if we didn't have to pick a starter, it would definitely be Eevee. Specifically, if I was able to evolve it into a shiny Umbreon. Like,
ooh,
that's my
that shiny
shit.
Umbreon is so, so dope.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah. I love that. Anyways, that's my gig.
All right.
Guess we're going around. That's you, Andy. I guess we're coming over to me. Favorite starter? Oh! Can I...
Oh, yeah, I definitely scrolled through them all. I
oh,
was like, I'm not.
Let's do also on top of that favorite shinies unless.
Oh, favorite
whatever.
Shiny.
Oh, that's.
Fuck.
Bro, that, you adding so much into this. Like,
yeah, too much.
We only do in one episode here right now.
I don't care. We'll do it. If we got to split it up into a small segment.
Let's just do starters and legendaries, and if we have time for shinies, we'll
talk about it. All right, all right, yeah, all right, all right. I like that. For starters, as far as first gen, it's really hard for a toss up between Charmander because that is like nostalgia for me having that Charizard at the end. And Squirtle, the underdog that came up and is like that Blastoise can take out that Charizard, but and on top of that, their megas are beautiful, both of them. But I have grown a liking to a certain grass type, which is Chespin.
You like Chespin?
I like Chespin.
Okay.
Because right. Chestnut's pretty fucking badass.
Chestnut is great, yeah. Dude. I have used him
also
so
like
often.
Like all three of his... forms are pretty great.
Pretty dope.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Which I was not expecting. You look at Chespin and you're like, the fuck is that thing? Like,
and I mean, even Turtwig.
I love Turtwig. Okay.
And so. Having his Torterra.
Yes.
Oh.
I can't think of Turtwig now without thinking of the Jaden Animations Let's Play.
Yeah. For Platinum,
where she just literally picks up Turtwig and just smashes people with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, those are kind of my starters. I really enjoy them. We could probably break this down later down the line and go through
each
typing or generation.
Yeah.
Oof. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a spreadsheet, bro. You don't even know.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And I would do the same.
Days, that, bro. Okay.
That's fine by me. I don't care.
Anyways, okay. Christopher.
All right, Chris.
All right, so probably out of all of us, I haven't played in God knows how long Pokemon, so from what I recall.
He's got pretty much Gen 1 and Gen and, 2 like, on Gen lock, 2. But that's about it.
Because I had to go back and look. I would say Gen 1, because I used to have a, was it Red, I think it was?
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would say, was it Chalamet? I can't say anything today. I'm so out of it.
Charizard?
Not Charizard.
Charmander.
Charmander. I always liked, like you said, the fire Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's usually what I started. I didn't care about Pikachu. I didn't care about the other ones. I just, that was the one.
Yeah.
I wanted
exciting.
Charmander. Except Charmander for like, you go up against Brock right off the bat and get your shit rocked immediately.
Charizard is literally playing Gen 1 on hard mode. Like, oh, if yes. you look at their type mashups for Team Rocket, the Gym Leaders, and the Elite Four, Charizard is hard mode, Squirtle is easy mode, and yep. Bulbasaur is your normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And realistically, if you look at it, it kind of plays into that on Gen 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Johto region, I mean, realistically... You go for Totodile because, I mean, it's a water type and it can learn all the TMs, basically, besides fly. And then you pick up a Pidgey at the beginning and you're good.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're good.
And that was going to say for Rob. Hey, Gold. That was the one I picked.
You like picked Totodile?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dota Dial looks badass. That, so.
Dude, awesome. For alligator that's a is badass.
Perfect oh, little segue. Because Totodile is my favorite.
As oh, much, no shit.
As much as I'm a Gen 1, 2, Gen 1 and 2 guy, I do absolutely love the new gens mm-hmm. for as much hate as they get.
Yeah.
Like, I do have that childhood nostalgia for 1 and 2. I was...
Definitely.
You know, I was also big on, like, as much as I like Squirtle, like, and he's the least favorite, Bulbasaur is my guy for Gen 1. Because wow. you've got so many water types.
Mm-hmm.
I do love Blastoise, but honestly, my favorite water type Gen 1 has got to be Starmie.
Mm. Oh. Yep. Oh. But okay. That's
another conversation for another day. So Bulbasaur I do like, but of my starters, Totodile, I think part of that is for me is like Crystal is probably my favorite.
Okay.
Because it broke the mold. With, you know, we got the break in the mold of Gen 2 just in general being going back to Kanto after you finished all of JoJo.
Right, right.
But mm-hmm. you had that extra storyline with Suicune. Yep. And I just have, like, vivid memories of that, and I got that game for my birthday, so there's a lot of nostalgia to that. But Totodile is just a beast. And then the remakes, when he gets a better moveset, like, it's over, bro. It's over. I will say, also... Piplup is also, like, I love all the water types. Yep. You can tell I gushed about the water type decks for Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, that's my thing. Yep. I'm a Cancer, water signs, you know, all that bullshit.
See, maybe that's what it is, because I'm...
Scorpio.
Well, Scorpio's a water sign.
It is a water sign. Yes.
But I'm on the cusp of Sagittarius, which is a fire sign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
So, Piplup... As much
I don't know
as
why I know that about myself.
As much as like I didn't fully love, like it wasn't statistically the best. Platinum got me back into Pokemon after skipping Gen 3,
mm-hmm.
and I picked it up just before Gen 5 came out. So it was like well after that had been popular, and I did a playthrough with it. That was my choice. I absolutely loved it, and I think I told y'all the other day about the special thing that you get for Arceus.
Yeah.
It's Arceus. If you're able to, not Arceus.
It's Sword and Shield.
Brilliant,
right?
Diamond, Shining Pearl.
Oh, okay.
If you transfer Pokemon from any of the original Gen 4 games, you get like a little special certificate.
Yes.
So I got that for transferring my Piplup from my original DS all the way
up. It like gives you a little note of like, hey, you've been friends with this Pokemon for a long ass time.
Exactly.
I wonder if you could do that from Gen 1 to Gen 2 to Gen 3.
You can't. The farthest you can go back is whatever GameCube game came out connected with Gen 3. You might get cartridge from Gen 3, but you can't go Gen 2 to Gen 3.
You can't trade even at all?
No. Because of the technology switch from Game Boy Color and that to Game Boy Advance, you can't do it. You could. The earliest you can do are Gen 3 games... Because you can go Gen 3 to Gen 4 if you still have an original DS, not the newer DS, because you need one that has the dual slots, one for the DS card and one for that. And then you can go to bank, and then you can go to home. But,
which,
of course,
that's not gonna be
we've got a limited
longer.
Time because till bank gets shut off with the remainder of stuff. So I think that's sometime next year.
I think that's what we had discovered. We had we've got about a year left.
So, and then at that point, you're shut out for anything that is older than Gen 6.
That's so sad.
I will say this. Pokemon Home, is it?
Yep.
The new one?
Yes.
That one I like because now you can take Pokemon Go Pokemon and put them in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Has that gotten integration directly to Home, or do you still have to go through Let's Go?
No, Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah. It is Pokemon Go for anything that's not Gen 1. I think if it's Gen 1, you might still have to go through Let's Go, or maybe it gives you the option.
I don't know. Hmm. But you can trade your Pokemon from Pokemon Go straight to Home. And
yeah, I was excited about that because like I fell off the Go train, but mm-hmm. I really still wanted my shinies in my main game series.
There you go.
My buddy's been trying to get me to trade my Hoopa, and it's a 98% IV, and I'm like, bro, I can't do that. It's actually useful on this, especially on its unbound form, which I did.
Speaking of legendaries, I think the next conversation was going to be favorite legendary.
Yeah.
Yes, favorite legendaries. Ooh. I think that one's a little bit harder for me. So, Sarah, you go, and I'm going to have to figure something out.
From like a, so I've got like three that I can't decide between. From like a nostalgia viewpoint, I remember discovering Raikou and thinking he was the coolest shit ever. Like that, I wanted a pet that looked like Raikou. Like that, I wanted that to be like my thing. So I definitely just remember. So I think it was, I think I watched the movie. Wasn't he in the movie?
Yeah.
I watched the movie and I was like, that's the coolest shit I have ever seen and I need that in my life.
Actually, wait, no. I think he's the only one that's not really been featured.
Okay. Was I don't remember where I saw him. Yeah, because there was a
whole... Because Entei got his own whole ass movie.
Right.
And I think Reiko's just seen for like a split second at a couple things. He never got the shine.
No, yeah, I totally remember seeing Raikou and just be like, and then when we did GoFest, not this past year, the year before, and they had all of the legendaries up for raids, I was like, fuck yes. I was so excited. Did I was like, I'm going to get my shit a Raikou. No, I did not get a shiny. I did get several shiny legendaries, but I did not get a shiny Raikou. That would have been amazing.
I do have a Raikou memory that I think you'll appreciate. So I got into a raid for Raikou a couple years ago. It might have been during like a GoFest weekend because it was during like that summer, August time.
Yeah.
I was out in Seattle area for my friend's wedding.
Okay.
And, you know, they had also recently released, like, you can take your Pokemon out and do, like, the scenic pictures.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I have it on this phone. I might have lost it as I switched phones over the year. But, like, Raikou with, like, the scenic, like, mountains of
the West Coast
in the background.
That's awesome. That
sounds amazing. That's dope.
Yeah. Oh, I really hope you still have that picture. That makes me so happy.
If I find it at some point, I'll throw it in the Discord.
Yes, please do. Please do. The other two. So the other one that I really like is Kyurem. Not because he's useful or that I am overly fond of him, but I worked so hard. I think I did. How many raids did we do last year?
I think like four or five. Oh, for GoFest?
For GoFest.
A lot.
Like, so just for Kyurem. Like, I could not. Like, we would get it, we'd defeat the raid, cool, whatever. And then I could not get him to stay in the fucking ball. We went through so many for me to get this one Pokemon. I'm like, all right, listen. So I just, like, we spent so much time on it that I'm like, all right, that one just stays at the forefront of my brain.
Yep.
And then probably my last one is Groudon. Because I had the shiny from last year and Andy had a regular. And I really, really, really hate the shiny. To me, it is so disgustingly ugly. So I was like, listen,
yeah,
Andy.
Yeah, his sprite's not been good in a few different incarnations.
So Andy really wanted the shiny. I was like, listen, if I'm going to trade you my shiny Groudon, it's the only one I've got. I'll take a Groudon back. And didn't we force a lucky trade?
Yeah.
So now I have a shiny Groudon, or a lucky Groudon, excuse me. And that's, I love it.
Oh, let's see. Nostalgia sense, I would have to go with the first two generations legendaries, the birds and the beasts, the birds and the beasts. I love Articuno. I love Zapdos.
That's not how that usually goes, but
no, we're gonna let it fly.
Articuno, Zapdos, Moltres, and then we got Riku, Entei, and Suicune.
That's fair.
I have to say I love him.
I do love Suicune.
Yeah.
What a badass design.
Yeah, and I don't know if you put a gun against my head and said pick one, I'm going Lugia.
That's fair.
That, like none of the above. Okay.
None of the above. I love their styles. I love their origins and stuff like that. That's amazing. But like when I saw Silver and saw Lugia for the first time, I'm like, yes. Yes. No, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And Pokemon 2000 came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, did you see, I saw it on Twitter. This is like, this summer was like, is the 20th anniversary of that.
Oh,
22nd. Shit. Well, yeah, because.
Yeah, you know, it was
Pokemon that
20.
Yeah, turned 22.
Yeah.
That was not a necessary tidbit of information. Just
well, it was Pokemon 2000. I mean, it's kind of hard not
shut
to
up.
not to get that. But yeah, Lugia.
Back in my day, we only had 151 Pokemon, and you had to have a wire between your systems if you wanted to play with a friend. We didn't have this GTS system for your trading other Pokemons. You had to look under the truck if you wanted to find Mew, and he was never there.
And once the color came out, and oh that what is it, mystery gift?
Yeah.
What a fucking pain in the balls!
A mystery, you get that damn thing to work.
You remember when we were in Cub Scouts and trying to make that work? Oh yeah, my god, it was awful. God. We got it to work horrible. Like two or three times, and it's like and it just, you got to do it once per day, and it's like, oh yeah, fuck.
Nope.
Fuck. Really?
And then
I swear, like that day-night cycle in Gen 2, like taught some kids how to tell time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I was looking for the Umbreon.
Were you? Well, yeah, you would have to at night, right?
Yeah, and they never like fully explained like the buddy system in that game where, you know...
Oh, friendship mechanic? Yeah, no.
Friendship mechanic? What the fuck was that?
There was some stuff way too advanced. You ever look at the math between how the Pokeball shakes?
No.
Mm. Wait, what? No.
Like... The internal math calculations for how the program figures out whether you get 1, 2, 3 shakes or it breaks out.
Okay.
That's some fucking calculus level, like advanced calculus level shit. We'll go to Chris, talk about his favorites. Bring that up on your phone. It'll blow your mind. But yeah, Chris, you had, what's your favorite?
Again, from Gold. I believe the Zapdos was in there.
Yeah.
It was
Zapdos was both game one was Gen 1 and 2.
2, right?
Yeah.
If
you're speaking specifically Gen 2, you're probably thinking Ho-Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, for Gen, yeah. He was my favorite. Like I said, I had Gold and you had Silver.
Yeah, we had Silver.
I know we had the opposite. Like when
we
Red?
No, we had Blue.
You had Blue, I had Red.
And we got that from somebody else. They just gave it to us.
Yeah.
And then all the batteries died on the cartridges, and it didn't mean shit after that. Afterwards.
Yeah. So. I mean, that blew my mind, like, as, like, young teen by the time, like, you got to a point where you, maybe not even teen, but, like, that preteen when you learned that, like, Ho-Oh was the thing that Ash saw in the anime in episode 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You lost your shit.
You're, like... It's like, wait, they had that out. They had that planned before we even got Gen 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before we even got fully Gen 1 stuff. Yeah. Right. That, like, yeah. There were a lot of those, like, game-defining things. Like, if you were a kid, like, when you first beat Metroid and you found out that Samus was a girl.
Yeah.
No, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you're just Ho-Oh.
Yeah, I would say.
Okay. So... I do have those soft spots for Gen 1 and 2, Mewtwo. Just lore that you get when you first time you're exploring Pokemon Tower. But I will say probably it's got to be Lugia. There's also, again, that soft spot for Suicune for Gen 2.
Right.
But Lugia, just I loved the design, the typing, the movie. Like, there was so much in there.
Oh,
Outside of that, I will say... And again, we're going to get in the nitty-gritty. If you're one of those people deep in Pokemon, not technically a legendary, it's a mythical. There's a distinction, but we, you know...
We're counting mythicals.
We're not, you know, ain't nobody got time to push up those anime glasses. I'm going in on this. Victini from Gen 5, like, here's the deal. I will, till the day I die, dump on Gen 5 for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But... Victini from Gen 5, it's mythical. They had a special promotion at launch, similar to what they did with Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl for this one, where you could get some mythicals at the beginning of the game. It was a GameStop exclusive. It was probably EB Games for those of you outside the United States. And you got this code. You could get it at any point, but it came at like level 5, so you could start, yes. That's what it is. Okay. Start it at the beginning of your journey, and it would be the same level with your other Pokemon. It was one of the mythicals that's like a baseline 100 stat, so it's not super OP towards the end of the game. It's nice mid-range, but it's a little bit stronger, and right. it had an event-exclusive move, and like you got to keep it with you, essentially, at that point, for the whole journey, as opposed to a lot of legendaries you don't get till late game, and you don't really get a chance to use them. And it was the first time I had a legendary that felt like a team member. And like now they just give you so much shit. Like, you can use so many things, whether it's transferred over or this or that. And so that's the first one that felt like special to me. And it was one of the last kind of mythicals that had some sort of story connotation, as opposed to just, here's a code for this thing. It has a Pokedex entry, I guess, but that's all you get.
That's all you get.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry. I'm looking at the catch
formula. That math? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like F equals, okay, and we start with a hyphen, and it's some big ass long fraction with multiplication all over it. Like, what?
Yeah.
My head hurts.
All right.
And that's the sixth step. We have like that. You don't even start there. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm so upset by this.
You ready?
No. Yeah, for what?
Hated.
Least hated favorite Pokemon. Legendary or least favorite overall?
Overall.
Let's go with the general.
Yeah, let's go.
Overall.
My least favorite Pokemon of all time is Trubbish. Okay, because here's why. Because I hated it to begin with, but now I find that you can collect more Stardust in the catching of Trubbish than you can in catching other certain Pokemon. And like, Pokemon Stardust is so intrinsic to my operation. I'm like, why? Why? I don't want Trubbish candy. I don't want to look at Trubbish. I don't want to catch Trubbish. I literally just want the Stardust. And in order to collect Stardust expediently, like the best Pokemon for that is Trubbish.
It's Trubbish. It's 100
with a star piece on.
No, it's 750.
Like, why? Stardust. Why did you need to do that to me? Pick something else. Literally pick anything else.
There's other Pokemon that have...
There are, but, like, it just is so unnecessary to me. Like, I hated it in the first place, because why would you base a Pokemon on trash?
That's a very much a, like, universal-ish opinion for a lot of people in the Pokemon community.
I didn't like it to begin with before I found out about the Stardust bit. I didn't like it to begin with, because why would you base a Pokemon on a pile of trash? Like, it literally is a bag of trash.
Hold on. Right. Hold on. I have a small argument with this.
Which is?
Which is probably his argument.
Yeah.
Is what's Grimer? Do you know what it is?
I don't like Grimer either.
Do you know what Grimer is?
It's a pile of sludge.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Grimer and Muk are a pile of sludge.
I hate them both.
Yeah.
I am like, why would you do? You base all your Pokemon on animals. And then all of a sudden you just have this random ass thing that's based off a pile of refuse.
Magnemite. Like. Voltorb. You know?
Pink Burmy.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, Pink Burmy?
Yeah,
Pink
they Burmy. Have different forms based on their environments.
No, I know that, but like what's...
It's a trash bag.
Yeah.
Is this
Pink
cover.
Burmy is a trash bag?
Yeah.
Instead of like
I just thought it was a hop plant, but like pink.
No. I mean, still also that, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a hop plant, yes.
Yeah.
But no, in the wild, it says it'll pick up the nearby surrounding to use as a shell.
Yeah.
It's like a crab.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Fine. But it's not an actual pile of trash.
No, it's picking up trash as a shell.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the common thing is like people, oh, they're running out of designs. And like we've had that since Gen 1.
It's not even. Yeah. It's but not I will even the lack agree of designs. Like you could, like you could take a pet fucking rock or that's fine. Take an ice cream cone, make a Pokemon out of an ice cream cone. I'm Gucci, but leave the trash bags alone. Why? I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I mean, it
bothers me so much. And then they do some crazy ass bullshit about like, oh, by the way, if you catch this trash Pokemon, you can get lots of Stardust. Yeah. Like what?
I mean. I do have a similar point for mine coming up. I will say it's Evolution Garbodor. It's Dynamax in Sword and Shield is hilarious.
Is it?
In that it gets so big that, like, you see stuff shoved in it, and one of the Easter eggs is it looks like there's the whole SS Anne from Gen 1 shoved in the side of it. But, like, it's minuscule in terms of its Dynamax.
Oh my god.
Kaiju size, yeah.
That's brilliant.
So hopefully that makes you hate it a little less.
No, I still really fucking hate it. It bothers me.
I'm gonna read. Have you read its Pokedex entry?
No.
On Go, at least?
No. I don't waste time on it, except to hate it.
If a young Pokemon or child breathes in the toxic gas that Trubbish belches out, it could be a life-threatening situation.
Yeah, see? Gross. Why? Let's see this. Oh, my God. There she is. That's so funny. That's hilarious, dude.
Yeah. There's also, if you see it from the back, the monorail is the tail.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, God.
All right, so I have very specific Pokemon in mind that I personally own. It is the trading card Pikachu. Oh, and not just any trading card Pikachu, because you can't fucking evolve most of the event Pikachus. It is the one that Sarah traded me that became a 100% IV fucking Pikachu.
It's not the one I thought you were going to pick.
I am so upset about
all
this.
All of the things to get 100 IV?
Yeah. and he gets all the 100 IVs? Yeah, yeah. I also get the shit IV ones. I'd rather have freaking Connor's Foongoose than that fucking Pikachu.
I thought, can I be totally honest and, like, poke the bear a little more? I thought you were going to pick your 100 IV lucky Seviper.
No. No. I
love Seviper's design.
Seviper's.
I like Seviper.
I like Seviper. I was kind of like, oh, okay. It's cool.
So Andy and I have never been lucky friends, but we keep somehow forcing the lucky trades. And that was one of them. And I don't remember what you gave to me, but he got a 100 IV lucky.
I also got a lucky. We both got lucky Spheals.
With the scarves on.
Event Spheals. Yeah, go throw that one away. You know, great. But yeah, that fucking Pikachu really burns me. I'm not happy about it. let's see. Yeah, perfect IV. Yeah, that's right there.
That's it, right
there. That's right there. You know what could have been worse? If I caught it and it was a shiny. My first Shundo would be.
And
a
I was just talking
Pokemon.
Before we started recording how I hate the hat Pikachus, and you talked about that, and then I pulled the hat Pikachu.
Oh,
hat
my Pikachu. God. It's like, what the fuck?
What about you, Chris?
God. I'm going back a little bit. You remember the
Paris?
You hate Paris?
Fucking annoying. Like,
oh my god! Because
in the beginning, I would run into them all the time. Then I had that audacity to catch one, and it just.
I will say, people dump on Zubat for like Mount Moon in the early ones. Paris also towards the end of the cave. I'm sick of them.
It's just you get annoyed by them.
Even
just like a Magikarp. There are some areas I remember were just, I mean, when it's fully evolved, it's a little bit better, but it's just obnoxious and annoying to deal with them.
I got one for you from second gen. When you have to surf across to the island.
Yes.
Holy fucking shit. Every goddamn Tentacool and Tentacruel known to fucking man hits you every three blocks.
Yep. So I do hate them. Annoying. They are super great, like, in the game, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tentacruel, great.
Oh, yeah. Very, very. But yeah. Jesus
also,
Christ.
Same with, like, Zubat and Golbat. Like, I hate those, but, like, they're also easily avoidable.
Right.
Right.
On top of the fact that, like, I mean, Crobat's pretty.
So good. So good.
Pretty badass. All right. Ben.
So.
But yeah.
So, yeah. I don't like the hat Pikachus.
Got a laundry list.
But. There's there's some. Really, there's only two that come to mind. Like, I'm not... There's stuff that I'm not a fan of, like the Hat Pikachus and Go. Most of the baby Pokemon that came out in Gens 2 and 4.
Oh, my God.
They're kind of, like, useless. Like, it helped... It's world building, so I'll give you that. Sure. Like, you've got to... Got to have that, I guess.
Some of them are cute, though, too.
But some of the extra evolutions, like one, I saw you scrolling, Chris, through like most hated Pokemon. And one that gets me is of the Gen 4 new evolutions, Licky Licky. Like,
yeah, I saw that one.
I mean,
I love Electrovile. Electrovire, great. Magmortar, cool. Like, they're not the best
Tank
designs.
Tangrowth is okay.
Tangrowth's a little eh. Right. But Licky-Licky, that's...
Licky-Licky is,
that's
like,
some nightmare
offensive
fuel shit. Yeah.
That is offensive, yeah. Like, straight up.
Like, but, I mean, sure. It's
like,
in there.
There's other Pokemon that could have definitely gotten an evolution.
So, to me, that's one. The other one that is on par with that, for most hated for me, is Love Disc. So
why?
I know.
For the same reason you dislike Trubbish in Go.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Love Disc in the main series games. It's really the only way to get the heart scales, which in most of the games before the most recent generation are the only ways to access the move relearner. So you currently have to either catch them or use Thief to steal the heart scales off of them, or like constantly having to go through them. So you need to like, you essentially had to farm them if you wanted to play competitively online.
Gross.
And they're useless. They don't evolve. They have low stats. They're just there to help fill out the world we need stuff to fill the ocean. Cause in the real world, there's a bunch of shit in the ocean.
Well, and it's another thing for like, oh, we have this, like, quest for you to do. We have this task for you, but like, we need something else. We can't just have everything be Pikachu. We can't have everything be, you know.
It exists for the fact of filling a hole in the world and giving you a collectible.
Something to do. Yes. Yeah.
Which a lot of people hate collectibles in a lot of games. It's optional if you're not trying to be competitive, but like, just obnoxious. Because even if you're not trying to be combative, sometimes you want to relearn stuff or get access to stuff for other reasons.
Oh my god, yeah.
You know, at least like Lilicky, you can never have to encounter that because unless you catch a Lickitung and tend to use it. But Love This was like you had to encounter it for one reason or another.
Yeah.
So that kind of brings me to a point with the Licky Licky. I have, come on, go to Seymour.
Please tell me you ended up getting like a hundo of those. Or shiny.
I have a hundo of Lickitung.
Yep.
And even though I don't have enough candies, there is still a debate on evolving it. I mean, it's a fucking normal type. Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
Useless.
Yeah. So many other Pokemon should have gotten an evolution besides Lickitung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when you are battling the Team Go Grunts or whatever, the Rocket Go Grunts, and they're like, normal doesn't mean weak, and you're like, it literally does, though.
It literally does, because I'm going to pull out my strongest Pokemon, fighting type, and literally pummel you into the fucking ground.
One Pokemon, and it's done. Like, you don't even have a chance.
Conkler, and just like that's an 89% IV. Conkler just wrecks their shit.
Yeah. Not Chansey or Snorlax, like if it's a normal type, it's not going to be great.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, no. But yeah, when they whip out the Snorlax, though, oh shit. Some stuff gets real fucking quick.
Yeah.
Because like. That
or like back before they did the gym update where you could only have one of a Pokemon in a gym, you get you and your boys to stack some Blissey's in there.
Oh, yeah.
That shit ain't going nowhere.
No. No. Nuh-uh. So.
Amazing.
All right. Legendary time.
Legendary hates.
I gotta look this one up.
Whoa, did we really get into 50 minutes of this? Holy
shit.
Yeah.
I think we should call it.
I told you, Pokemon going to be...
It's going to take a while.
I didn't realize we just like...
We've just been chatting. We've been chirping at each other.
Holy shit. All right, quick.
Quick. Okay, quick, based on design alone, all of the Regis and all of the Urises, Thundurus and Tornadus and Landorus.
Fuck you, you took mine. You took mine. The fucking genies and all the Regis, including Regigigas.
Hashtag fugly.
Annoying.
See, I love them, but I don't love them, but like I they like do, them from
they
a
perform
lore
well,
like
but
a
like,
lore standpoint. Oh, I'm a big I see fan what you're saying. Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
Does but that, like the cool. show or the movie, where it just makes god awful noise.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll go ahead and pass because there's no way. By the time I look it up, I'm trying to figure cool. that out.
Cool. So for me, I would probably have to go the Lake Guardian trio, like from Gen 4. Absolutely lame. Man. Like. There's no reason for them.
Yeah, the
because
pixies.
At that point you've introduced the Gigas mm-hmm. and the Regis, which have world building, and like these are like they're the parts of the human spirit, which are fine, but they're Pokemon. Like it doesn't need to exist.
No,
yeah, they're Pokemon. So they're not fucking.
Also, Gen
humans.
4 is where we started to get that explosion of legendaries and mythicals with no real purpose or reason. You
they
just like,
needed a new,
just, you know,
and just throw a bunch of crap
merchandise
out here.
Fodder. Yeah.
They're yes. not even merch fodder because people are still using it's still all Pikachu, Charizard, and Mewtwo.
Yeah.
So, fair. Like, it's not even that. It's just like they're trying to do world building, but not actually put the effort into it. Mm-hmm. They're just like, hey, there's this shit that
here's
exists
this, here's that.
For reasons, I guess.
For reasons?
I'm going to go one real quick general one that I said earlier in a past episode is all the fucking electric rodents.
Oh, God.
All of them.
The Pikachu clones? Yeah.
The Pikachu clones. Like, what the fuck?
Debian or whatever?
Yes.
Like, you already had an electric mouse.
Yep.
Why did you need
plus
that?
Plusle and Minun, yeah.
I love Plusle and Minun, though.
All right.
I don't know. They're cute. Anyways, moving on.
Sorry we went a half an hour over, which I did not expect, but...
We got a little excited.
Yeah, this got a little heated. I didn't realize it would get this heated. My bad. But great episode, everybody. First of all,
can I throw one extra thing since we're already over on time?
Yes.
So since we went so much on about Pokemon and it was the thing that you guys talk about the most, I'd like to issue a challenge to our viewers.
Okay.
To interact in our Discord with favorite Pokemon memories or pictures.
Yes.
And but this is going to be a two-part challenge. If we can get at least 5 posts from people who are not us at the table and Connor.
Yep.
And 75 listens on this episode.
Hell yeah.
Oh, you guys got some homework
from Ben.
I will
do a Pokemon related giveaway.
Oh, shit.
Y'all can mail something out to a lucky viewer.
May or may not be a $34. Full Holo Charizard, maybe not.
The look on Ben's face, like, don't do that to me. How about an unopened pack?
No, sitting right there. No.
You know what? You know what? I would consider that.
That's not bad.
Five posts from different people. You can't be the same person in our Discord. That it's not one of our 5 regular us.
Yep.
And 75 listens on this episode.
Yeah.
So we'll you guys know what this means. Hit the share button. Share.
Share it. Tell a friend. Let them know about this. Also, we'll say a pack. A Pokemon cards.
Yeah, pack or better. Yeah.
Pack or better. And you get a sticker. A Rage Game sticker to come with it. All right.
And all you got to do is post.
Plug.
And hit the share.
So you can find that Discord link on our website at ragegamenetwork.com and just find all our pictures and stuff on our Instagram, which Sarah's in charge of because I really suck at updating them. you can also check out our Facebook, which I'm going to throw that to Chris to take over from here on out. And you can annoy Connor on the email to get those V-necks at ragers@ragegamenetwork.com. So, ragegamenetwork.com, hit the Discord, go follow our Discord, and put in 5 posts that are not just everybody.
Not just us.
Not just us.
I tried to put up some news, some interesting stories in the different channels. I love some interaction from people that aren't us here at the table.
Yeah. So we pal around all the time. Yeah. We want to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And go buy a shirt or something to support us.
Buy a backpack. I need a new one.
I need a couple of shirts. I really like the one with our...
I know this is old school.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hashtag Hunter Life.
That's like an oldie but a goodie.
OG.
That is true OG. All right. If you rage it, we game it.
Bye.
See you guys.